Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Global COVID-19 cases top 15 million as the US edges closer to 4 million. California has more cases than New York. But the stock markets are heading in the direction of new record highs. This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Edine Boumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the iconic Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Thanks, good to be here.
Peter, President Trump is now wearing a mask. He always said he does not want to wear any. What do you experience in New York City at the moment? How's the situation in the US?
So I think it's really, you need to break down the United States separately relative to its response to the virus. We are seeing New York, thank goodness that's actually where I am, has flattened the curve substantially and basically is one of the safe spots, having been one of the hot zones, obviously, March, April, May. The rest of the country, the South and the Southwest and the Southeast are definitely in deep, deep trouble. And it's clear that this is affecting the numbers have broken through the 4 million level. We've got more deaths than we've seen even through March. And obviously, it's starting to wear on people's judgment whether the federal government has stepped in to do their job correctly. And it's clear from the polls that majority of people throughout the United States, and especially in some of these key states, which historically have been Republican states, are fading away from a Republican vote. So therefore, in my opinion, and we don't often get political on the show, it seems to me that Mr. Trump is surrendering to, I don't believe he's surrendering to his heart and his empathy by any means. I believe he's surrendering to the polls. And he realizes that if he doesn't jump on board the mask train at this point, then he will really be left out in the cold.
Peter, European stocks tumbled as US-China tensions weigh on sentiment. Do you think we will see more tension coming out between the US and China?
You know, this is a fascinating story, and it's hard to really notice what its effect is going on, particularly in the marketplace. There's clearly tensions, and as we see it with closing of consulates and, you know, the other sort of tit for tat that we're seeing, and it's not tick for talk, it's tit for tat, that we're seeing between China and the United States. You know, the posturing of our administration here is still to call the virus the Chinese virus. So whether we're poking the bear on that one, it's not clear. It's hard to see the forest through the trees, as we often say here. There's so much going on in the marketplace, which I think it's important for us to know, whether what kind of recovery we are in, how bad the virus is spiking, what its effects are economically, what are the global economic outlook going forward. So whether the market is reacting to what the antagonism between US and China or not, it's hard to note its direct effect on the markets. I think there is so much going on here in the markets, and I hope we get a chance to speak about it.
Looking to the charts, which is easier, giving us one point and one good outlook. The Nasdaq, 4 days in a row, we are losing ground. This is maybe the start of a first correction. What do you think about that?
So, you know, it's fascinating to see how, as we've seen over the last 4 months, how the markets, the mechanism of the markets that used to take, and the cycles of the markets that used to take seasons and half years and decades to change and build themselves on each other, happens now in a period of weeks and months and days, right? We saw the record highs of February to the record lows of March. And so now, and a week ago when we spoke last, we were talking about how in the event of such a huge economic global shutdown and the virus is spiking, yet NASDAQ was hitting record highs. And then suddenly we have a sudden reversal. 4 days of a reversal in the NASDAQ 100 doesn't make a trend yet, but it is curious as we analyze it, what's going on, right? So they have been the best of breed. They have been what's been fueling the market. We talked about it last week also. Is it because they tend to be a little more pandemic friendly, to use a strange term, shelter at home stocks? Or is it flight to value? Or what is it that's taking the NASDAQ up to these record highs? Suddenly, you're asking me the question, we've had a four-day reversal of that. Now, so what really is it? Is it profit taking? Is it the reality of the stimulus package slowing down? It's very, the metrics that we judge markets, whether it's NASDAQ, the Dow, or the S&P, in metrics that we judge the economy relative to stimulus, Federal Reserve, and unemployment, are all completely like new rules, right? They've been skewed in such a way. I think it's fascinating to note, and I spoke with you about it before, that markets trade, markets X the pandemic, trade in cycles, trade in seasons, right? We know the old adage, sell in May and go away, right? And for many years that worked. It had whatever it had to do with, that the market had a beautiful rally from June to May. The first two quarters were in the books, and people took a little break and the market had a breather, and we saw the market sell off. We often have seen since the crash of 87, the October period of time, and the markets have been a fragile one, right? The psychology of the markets are always so, so important, right? It's like technical analysis. Technical analysis is built about historic data. Psychological response to the markets are built on psychological data. And apparently the research that I've done is July tends to be historically a seasonal topping of the market. And if we look at the way the trend has been since March in this market, you almost feel in a way that we are sort of topping out over in the last 4 weeks. We've traded in about a 5%, 6% range in the Dow and the S&P, right? And we're seeing a little bit of a toppiness in the NASDAQ. So whether it's, and to just tell a quick note, historically, the reason for that was in the early part of the century, when we were an agrarian society, that what happened was, come summertime, people would leave the cities and go to the countries, and there would be a drawdown on city banks, and there would be a deposits made in country banks. And that put a bit of a damper on the market. A little historic tidbit, thanks to Arthur Cashin, one of my mentors. So I'm not clear what it's about. It does feel toppy. What do you think?
Yeah, from my side, I'm bringing some seasonal patterns with gold. And actually, I tried to make an intermarket analysis to look whether the trend in the stock market is sustainable. If you look on the commodity market, look on lumber, look on gold, look on silver, look on copper, all these commodities are actually from a month to date, in this month, these are the biggest winners, actually. So this month is commodity month. And if commodities are rising, they fuel, of course, inflation. Oil as well, not so good as the others, but they fuel inflation. Inflation targets are wide, far away still. But actually, is this indicator still active? Is that actually not supporting the sustainable trend in the stock market?
It's a fascinating question. You know, it's very economical. It's a little bit out of my wheelhouse. What I will say is, though, that the market has had an unprecedented rally, right? Is it sustainable, right? The mistake I believe we're making is that we're making an economic judgment about the recovery based on skewed unemployment numbers and skewed stimulus, right? So I looked it up. There was a fascinating thing that I really wanted to bring up. It's hard to notice here, where we're making a judgment about the state of the consumer, the level of unemployment, and the recovery of the economy in a market that is being inundated and flooded with liquidity and stimulus, right? Now, what happens for that? It's like if you're driving with your foot on the gas, right? Eventually, if you are not able to sustain that, you're either going to have to stop and fill up the gas again, or eventually you're going to just run out of gas and come to a coasting halt. Where are we going now? The Congress and Senate this weekend went home without reinstituting a new stimulus package, right? People here have the state of the consumer. Look, let's talk about earnings for a minute. We saw the banks show a huge surge in trading, a huge surge in consumerism. The health of the consumer seems to be coming back on board. Yet, that is strictly a function of the fact that those who are in the workforce or have lost their jobs are still receiving the stimulus package. And I think we've seen that eventually also. We've talked about the flood of money liquidity into the money supply and by the Federal Reserve. That is not sustainable for a while, forever and ever. And so while the commodity rally could be people starting to build a base about hoping for a recovery and to build the infrastructure up, maybe it's a bet on the Democrats that Mr. Biden is an infrastructure guy and he's going to hopefully start making jobs available and do that if that's who ends up winning the election. I think it's important for us to note that we cannot make economic judgments about any of these things without taking into fact that the new pieces of the puzzle are not here to stay. That they, yes, they may increase to $600 for another 6 months. I hope so for people who don't have any money. God bless them. Or some kind of a further stimulus package and whatnot. But this is not going to continue. I don't think it can't continue forever.
Warren Buffett bought some more stocks of Bank of America. He spent $800 million. Are U.S. banks interesting for investors?
Is that a question for me or for Sala?
No, for you. Would you buy Bank of America stocks?
So you know what? It's a fascinating question. I can't really specifically identify what stocks to buy, whether it appears from the earnings and lack of or whatever guidance were given by the banks, which were the first to report, that they feel robust. And we talked about it last week also. Let's remember that what industry and what sector was the strongest coming into this pandemic? And the banks were in incredibly healthy condition. Their balance sheets were strong. They had just come out of a 10-year plus rally of a stimulus package from the last financial crisis. What we saw was obviously the first quarter in the pandemic hurt everybody in a big way. And without guidance from the banks, we couldn't get a sense of what the future looked like. But what we did see from the reporting last week of the banks was robust trading, right? Incredible volumes. People actually taking control of their money and trading. Banks trading, profits being made across the board, I think, except for Wells Fargo, which always seems to be the sheep at the back of the booth. But most of the banks showed robust balance sheet, robust trading. They're obviously an end point of whatever the state of the consumer is, whether the consumer is at work and healthy and robust and putting his money in the bank, or the consumer is the recipient of a stimulus package, whether it's corporate, individual, or whatnot. The banks are the endpoint of all of that money. And so they've proven from this last report to be an attractive place to put your money.
Apple pushed back its iPhone 12 event to late October instead of September. Do you think more companies will have troubles with their production?
So I think it's really fascinating to watch what stocks. So even though the indices are up since March 23rd, and we know why, and there are some stocks that have benefited from the shelter in place and pandemic, it's amazing to see the second tier of companies that have been benefiting from our new world order that we have now. For instance, the auto industry up 44%, right? Why is that? Because people are not flying, they're going to drive, right? As we start to open up our economies, people cannot stay locked in their house forever and ever. Even though it appears to me that we may go back to a lockdown because of the unfortunate way the virus is spreading in much of the United States, there are recipients within the financial, within the markets of companies that are going to benefit. Sales of autos, for sure. People are still going to want to drive and not fly. So sales of autos have gone up. And we're seeing it a lot of in the supply chain of some of the tech companies, right? First of all, we saw Best Buy do kind of well, and we saw a number of the semiconductors also benefiting from this. As you and the three of us have discussed now for the last 3 months, my question to you has always been, will the economy catch up with the market, which is strong and robust, or will the market catch up with the economy, which is in a dire strait? I don't believe we've even seen the beginning of what this is, the pandemic and the continued unavailability of the reopening or unaccessibility of the reopening or the stop and start of the reopening is going to have on personal income and living standards, real estate across the board. I mean, let's think about it. When people stop getting the stimulus package, they're not going, the majority of American workers are not going to be able to pay their rent. They're not going to be able to go out and shop. When people are not out in the malls shopping, the malls are not going to be able to, the shops, the retail are not going to be able to pay their rent. Those people are going to start defaulting. We've seen, if it's not a number that they put out a lot, but if you look in the nooks and crannies of the economic report of what's really going on, and the state of the U.S. economy and a lot of the global economy is that there are huge fractures in it, right? You know, the minute we do not support the majority of the population of the United States with some stimulus until they get their jobs back again, which may not come for a while, 15,000 restaurants, I believe, in the New York area are closed. Or in New York State, or it was a number. I'm not sure if it was statewide or whatnot. But we're going to start seeing that happening. It's going to have a huge economic effect on everyone. So, you know, I guess this is a long way of me answering your question about Apple is, but are people going to want, you know, do we have a robust state of consumerism where people find it necessary when the iPhone 11 is still pretty fresh to go out there and buy the iPhone 12? I would like to ask Salah a question that, you know, we are seeing the stimulus package being presented by European nations, right, EU and whatnot. And it seems, from our perspective, it seems coordinated and robust and healthy. How do you feel the economic recovery of Europe is going to be relative to what you're seeing in our markets?
Yeah, of course, it depends on the worldwide economy, so you can't just look on the European side. But we see that it's not so fast and furious like in the U.S. I mean, we have a continuous growth right now. Still set up, and we're still in uncertainty because Corona, undoubtedly. But if you see from the point of healthiness, the increase is not compared to the U.S., nothing. It's under control, like kind of sad. So in this terms, I think that we have some potential that we could gain as well. And you see a lot of fund managers in the US after surveys of Bank of America, they already are saying that the market in the US is already too heated. And in Europe, there's more potential maybe in the next 6 months to up to 6 to 12 months, that you could see maybe a more, a better momentum in the upcoming 12 months in the U.S.
So that they feel that the U.S. has really rode its way to its top, and there may be more quicker aggressive growth over the next 6 to 12 months in Europe. And relative to our poorly handling the pandemic, let's be clear, guys, you and I, the three of us are talking here on a day where we are seeing record infections, record deaths, record spikes in all numbers across the U.S. Plus 30 plus states are in a state of virtually state of emergency, right? And I think that we have yet to see how those numbers of, and we saw 1.4 million more people apply for unemployment in the last few days, right? So that number is starting to rise again. as a function of the attempted reopening. So I, you know, we are at a pivotal point when we three talk today about really where, what, how did, what, where does the future lie for the U.S. and the economy? And I beg the question once again, are we going to finally see that, unfortunately, the market to catch up with the state of the economy, which I believe is in trouble, or the other way around?
Guys, thank you so much for all your thoughts and input. Salah Idina Boumidi, head of markets at IG, and Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk. More information on IG.com. Thank you so much and see you next week.